You're listening to a podcast from Newstalk ZB. Follow this and our wide range of podcasts now on iHeartRadio. Newstalk ZB.
Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Wednesday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn Hart, and we are looking back at Tuesday. And today we're going to talk about clean energy, arguments for and against, and the timing of it. It's ball season. I think we're in the middle of it, because I know definitely of some balls that have already happened. These are school balls I'm talking about. And we've got some Tangelo talk, courtesy of Marcus, at the end of the podcast. But first up, the three strikes policy. Most people seem to be glad to see this back, except for the lawyers.
This is a very live debate at the moment, the conduct of judges and the overreach of judges. You know, we've got the Waitangi Tribunal judges thinking it's acceptable to summons a minister to answer them. We've got the Supreme Court judges, quite radical moves to insert tikanga Māori into law. Got the Law Society on Friday telling us off for criticising judges and for calling them activist judges and so on. But what we've actually got here is a pattern of behaviour from judges, where they think that they actually can just ignore Parliament and do what they want to. And this is an example of it. The voters wanted the three strikes law. If, by my recollection, all three parties who are currently in government promised to bring back the three strikes law. So when voters voted for each of those three parties, they knew that they were voting for the three strikes law. The government has a mandate to bring it back in. But apparently, it's widely known the courts are just going to ignore it. Even though we want it. We want it. The courts are just going to ignore it because they know better. That is not how the system is designed to work. How it's supposed to work is the voters are the boss. We vote for Parliament. Parliament has supremacy. The judges are expected to implement the law that Parliament passes. Now, if the Law Society is so worried about people losing trust in judges, it may be actually that criticism of judges is not the problem. It may be that the way that the judges ignore the intention of Parliament, that may actually be the problem.
Yeah, for all the people who buy into the three strikes hype, maybe they should just do a little harder look at this, the initial sentences that some of these crims are actually getting, and if they're getting off too lightly right from the first strike, maybe we should tidy that up.
News Talk ZBean.
It's a complicated business, and not many people are prepared to look at every detail of every case. It's always different if you're actually in the courtroom, I think. What does John McDonald think?
Don't get me wrong, by the way. I'm not in the least bit sympathetic to criminals. Not in the least bit. All criminals. But especially the lowlifes who commit the likes of the 41 different violent and sexual crimes we're talking about with this three strikes law. I mean, you can imagine what they are. I'm not going to go through a list of them. Although this time round, there will be a new strangulation and suffocation offence included. But what I want you to think about, you listen to me here right now, in your heart of hearts, in your heart of hearts, do you really think bringing this law back is going to make any difference? I don't think it is. If the aim is to reduce violent crime, as far as I'm concerned, the government is barking up the wrong tree with this one, because if it didn't work the last time we had it, which was between 2010 and 2021, if it didn't work then, do you really think it's going to work now, when criminals seem to give even less of a rat's backside about consequences? Really? Of course it's not. But if you're listening now and thinking, oh yeah, what is going to work, mate? Mr. Smart Aleck, what is going to work? If this three strikes isn't going to reduce crime, what is? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. If I did, I'd be telling you. I mean, there are all the usual things, like trying to make sure kids grow up and don't see crime as their only option. There's all that stuff. But I can't think of one thing that's going to fix the situation anytime soon.
I mean, the last time I was a victim of crime, a bloke stole a package off my front doorstep. I had HD footage of him doing it. I even ID'd him via social media. There was absolutely no doubt who the bloke was. Filed all that as a police report, and they did absolutely nothing about it whatsoever. So I'm not quite sure where three strikes fits into all that. Didn't make any difference to me.
News Talk ZBean.
Now, Mike Hosking has some thoughts on how difficult it is to fix climate change.
It is announced we have reduced our emissions now for 3 years in a row. So good on us. The very next day, Transpower, the people who get the electricity into your lounge, tell us yet again, that this winter, well, there are going to be issues and peak load and demand might be a bit problematic. Now, part one of the emissions reduction bit is increasingly about us feeling good, right? Because as we've also found out a bit over a week ago, huge chunks of the world are not reducing their emissions or indeed even close to it, which then leads to a lot of people arguing that we shouldn't bother either because it makes no difference. I actually come down on the other side of that. I would argue that if we can, we probably should. And let's be honest, in doing what we have so far, have we reached a point where we are massively inconvenienced? I wouldn't have thought so. Until, of course, Transpower come along and tell us what they have. Now, here's the simple rule of thumb. Do not have enough power in 2024 is simply not good enough. It should be seen as an abdication of responsibility. And the reason we don't have enough is, quite openly admitted, the renewables are not voluminous enough and not reliable enough to cover the growing demand. The transition hasn't transitioned to the point where we can largely leave fossil fuel behind. So the line for me is very, very simple. Save the planet all you want, even if it is futile, given China and India. But don't get so hell-bent about it that the heater isn't on in July when it's -3. That's not a first-world country, and it's not a first-world approach. Making it even more ridiculous is the transition involves technological advance like EVs. Now, if we don't have enough power now, how are we going to power the EVs? How do we power generative AI? The other thing we learnt last week, the so-called future, because a future that requires 10 times more power than a Google search. I mean, talk about the cart before the horse, when we still struggle winter in, winter out to do the basics. We've allowed basically ideology to hijack reality, and that is not the future of the future.
Given that the majority of tech leaders seem to suggest that AI is going to kill us all, I'm prepared to put that on hold for a while if it means I can keep the heat on. Was that Mike's point? Perhaps we should just pause some of this stuff until we got the renewables to power everything.
News Talk ZBeen.
Let's move on to it's old chestnut time in the podcast today. Ball season. Too much hype, too much expense, too much pressure.
Do the students just expect too much of their parents and their school?
And why do they hold them in autumn when it's blooming cold?
Hello, Chelsea.
How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Miss Happy?
Good. When was your last school formal?
So I'm 28 now. So 10 years ago, I went to year 12 and 13 ball. Mm-hmm. And I was actually working because I had a job since I was about 13 or 14. And I paid for my own.
That is fantastic. And do you recall how much you paid for your year 12 formal dress? And was it new?
It was brand new. I actually got stung. I bought it from overseas. It got dirty on the way through.
Oh, no.
And it had, gemstones on the front, so I had to get alterations, which was also very expensive. So it ended up being a lot.
You're wonderful to do that, though. And did your parents pay anything towards your dress?
No, I paid for it myself, and I was good with money.
Yeah.
And got paid, you know, for my makeup and hair and stuff myself.
Oh, good on you.
And was that commonplace that you know, you mentioned hair, makeup, nails, then you've got your dress. Do you recall how much your ticket was to the actual formal?
See, I'm not qualified to have an opinion on this because I never went to any balls because I thought they were the stupidest things I'd ever heard of. Could definitely not see any point whatsoever. Hang on, if I just had an opinion on it, if by accident.
News Talk, ZBeen.
We're in the opinion business, of course. Does Marcus have an opinion on Tangelos? Let's find out.
By the way, there's a glut of cheap mandarins. Mandarin growers are getting less priced for their fruit this season due to soft demand. Quality was high because of hot, dry weather. The price was low. Prices are terrible. Thought we imported most mandarins now. There's some guy from the far north complaining because he can't go through the Brinduwans and he can't go through the Mungamooks. The Mungamooka, because of roadworks in both, so we should send it by train. Oh no, the railway line's not fixed yet. I enjoy a mandarin. I don't love a mandarin. But you know, when it comes to my soup, I'm quite firm with my opinions of citrus. Love, grapefruit. Like, orange mandarin. Detest, with every single fibre of my body, absolutely detest. Tangelo. The trouble with the tangelo is the poor old tangelo hasn't worked out which part of the tangelo is skin and which part of the tangelo is juicy pulp. Gets me every year. You'll see a tangelo, I think I'll have a bit of that. And you've got to peel it. Next thing you know, you've got the peel kind of pivoting away from the main body of the fruit. And you think, well, this is it. And you've got your confidence up and you pull the peeler back further and it's going. And then suddenly a whole bit of the pulp of the fruit comes off. And the juice, it's all down your arm. It's horrible. Bit of a bath.
It's obviously been a long time since I attempted a tangelo. I'm not really big on citrus, so to be perfectly fair. I'm taking medication that says that I'm not even allowed grapefruit. So potentially that'll kill me if I have grapefruit. It rules out a lot of cocktails as well, the old not having the grapefruit juice. Always puts a bit of a dampener on the party when everybody's ordering a round of cocktails and I'm there quizzing the barman about whether there's grapefruit juice in Mojave Wallbanger or whatever it is. I've sort of forgotten what we were talking about there. I haven't really. I know we were talking about citrus. The only one I've got time for is the Satsuma. An easy peel. Seedless citrus is the only thing that I can be bothered with. Otherwise, it just falls into the whole department of high maintenance fruit. Anything that you've got to use a utensil for, I'm against. And anything that's full of seeds, I'm against. And obviously, anything that interferes with my heart medication and might kill me, I'm against. Thanks for listening to News Talk ZB. We'll pause. We'll just have a little hiatus for Anzac Day, and I'll be back with you Friday morning. See you then.
News Talk ZB. For more from News Talk ZB, listen live, on air, or online, and keep our shows with you wherever you go with our podcasts on iHeartRadio.